Amen. Father, I've had a number of people that have asked me about my eyes. I got my contacts in about the middle of the week. And I can see you if you leave. I want to start off with a question tonight. Why is the house of our why is the house of God forsaken? Brother Nunley? He needs to preach that message about 6, 8, 10 more times, and then when we finally get it, he needs to take it on the road. Not that we're wanting to get rid of him. It saddens my heart today what's happening to the house of God. And our message. We need that kind of message. And Brother Nunley, I appreciate it. I didn't tell you after the service this morning, but I appreciate that message. I told my wife, I said to God, Brother Manley really preached a good message this morning. It, not only, I think it touched my heart, but it touched your hearts. I want to pray before we get started here tonight. Jesus, quicken your word. For we know it's not by might nor by power, but it's by your Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And we know, Holy Spirit, that you're the preacher. And we need you to come in and take control of this service and of your servant tonight. And minister to us by your Holy Spirit. And Father, we pray that you would just move in our hearts and let there be a great hearing and receiving tonight. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If I ask you to quote a scripture from memory, what scripture would you quote from memory? I'm not talking about reading it off the Bible. A lot of good, but how many do we? It wouldn't be long until somebody would probably stand up and quote John 11:35. How many knows what that is? Jesus will. Or John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him. Is there any difference in in and on? Should not perish, but have everlasting life. Tonight I'm going to preach from a scripture that's almost that well known. I'm preaching from Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Some people say Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, forever. I like the ands in between. That separates it in time. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. We're living in a changeable world today. I don't know how old you are, but can you remember the changes in your lifetime? I don't remember who it was. I think it was our speaker last week that said he remembered jumping off a porch and he thought it was about that high, and he went back and it was about that high. See, we have our own childish ideas of things that the way they are. If my great-great-grandfather could come back tonight and look and see what has transpired in the last 150 years or so, he would be amazed that we're no longer in the horse and buggy days. Cars, airplanes, jets, space travel. We're getting ready to send a person in the future to Mars. And everything around us is changing. And yet, the Word of God says, Jesus Christ is the same. Jesus Christ is the same tonight. Hallelujah. Everything might change around us, but He will never, ever change to who He is and what He is and what He is doing. Yet the Bible tells us that God that we serve never changes. Hallelujah. Let's look at the Word of God, what it has to say tonight. I'll try not to hold you too long tonight. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday. Let's look at yesterday. The Bible tells us in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. John 17:5 is the Lord's Prayer. Now, lots of times people say the Lord's Prayer is Matthew 9 and 6. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's not the Lord's Prayer. He's teaching His disciples how to pray. But the Lord's Prayer is listed in John 17:5. Oh, Lord, now, Lord, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had before the world was. He prayed that in the garden. And then in Revelation 22:15, it says, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. We read in John 8, verse 56, it said, He said, yet have ye not known Him? But I know Him, and if you should say, I know Him not, you shall be a liar unto you, but I know Him and keep His sayings. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, art thou not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. How old? From the very beginning of time, when the angels were still up in heaven, and when the world was within chaos, and the Bible said, and the trees together in praise. He was. In the beginning, He created the heavens and the earth, and nothing was created unless He created it. When Noah built the ark is a typology of Jesus saving Shem, Ham, and Jephthah and their wives and Noah. When Israel came out of Egypt, the Bible tells us that in the 12th chapter, I believe it is, of Exodus, he said, and they offered a paschal lamb. Jesus is that lamb. He is that lamb that they put on the doorpost and over the top. And when I see the blood, what? I will pass over you. And the Bible tells us that when Israel came out of Egypt, the Bible says in Hebrews, the 8th chapter, verse 56, I believe it is, he took them by the hands and led them out. Who led them out? Jesus. He led Israel out of Egypt. And the Bible tells us that he was the cloud at day and the fire by night, thermostat, 75 degrees. He kept them covered. Brother J.C. Minor, one of the great preachers that I've known in my lifetime that pastored Heights Assembly of God, I remember him preaching one time and he's talking about the cloud. And you know what the cloud is? You know, every time that they moved, they had to look up. They had to watch that cloud because they didn't move until the cloud moved. And they had to keep looking up. I had a family in my church that came, and my, they were a blessing. When they first came up, they had a Volkswagen bus with murals all the way around it. And when he got out, he looked like Bozo the Clown. And I thought, what in the world has invaded our church? And come find out, it was one of the sweetest couples that you'd ever find anywhere. They were modern-day hippies, I guess you'd say. And they came and they saw beauty in everything. We still have some pictures and things that they painted and things that they saw beauty in. And they came in our church and they just blessed our church. And our church was just blessed by their presence. And our church just them in and love them. And one day they got up and said, we're moving to Tennessee. Both of them were artists. They could do anything with their hands. And his job was painting the decals on the end of the airplanes. Those airplanes of Continental and all these, it has these deals. That's what he used to do. And he said, we're moving to Tennessee. And I said, have you prayed about it? He said, well, we didn't pray when we came here. Well, now, how, you know, you really can't knock that. But it wasn't long after they moved that we got a Christmas card from them. And it had her name and children on it. They had five children. And we called her. And she said that her and her husband had separated. She said, I wish we'd have stayed in Houston. I thought, I wished you had it too. But you know what? That cloud, brother, Jesus moves us. You know that? If you move out of a church and you don't pray about it and you don't have a good feeling about it, you're moving out of the will of God. When the waters roll back by the Red Sea, the Bible tells us that he held his hands back and Israel went across the Red Sea on dry ground. The Bible said that the wheels of Pharaoh's chariots came off. And they drowned in the Red Sea. It said, those that you see, you'll see no more. We heard that last week. When they needed something to eat, God sent them manna. You know what manna means? What is it? He sent that manna down from heaven, and in the New Testament it says, I am that manna that came down from heaven. And when they needed water, he was that rock that followed them all the way through the desert. When Gibeon had made a contract with Israel, the king of Jerusalem, Jebusite, made war with Gibeon. He said, let us make war. And he got five other kings to come in and join with him. And they made war with Israel and Gibeon. And when the sun was almost set, the Bible tells us that Joshua prayed and the Lord stopped the sun over Gibeon and in the valley and the moon in the valley of Ajalon. We're seeing what God has done in times past. When they cast the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in the fiery furnace, the king said, did not we cast three into the fiery furnace? And behold, I see four, and the fourth one is like caught, the Son of God. He's a God that goes with you through the fiery furnace. And when Daniel was put into the lion's den, it was the angel of the Lord, which is the Lord. He said he was the one that came down and stopped the lions and gave him lockjaw. But let's look at him today. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today. The Bible tells us in John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And John was an old man when he wrote 1 John in the Bible. When he wrote it, you know, if anybody was going to give me a whipping, I'd like for John to do it. I wouldn't want Paul to do it. And John wrote this book to the church, and he addressed it as little children. Can you imagine an old man served God, been with Jesus all these years that had been with him and leaned on him, and here he is, he writes a letter, and he says, My little children. Can you imagine how tender that is? He said, that which was from the beginning. By the way, the first chapter of John is this and that. You'll get the idea when we read it. Maybe you haven't noticed it. That which was from the beginning, I like to put this, that which we have heard, that which we have seen, with our eyes, that which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the Word of God, for the life was made manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly the fellowship is with the Father, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. When they begin to, we were talking, Brother Bob, the other day, we were talking about putting the Bible together. In 313, I believe it is. I'm not really certain, but it's in about 313, I believe it was. But they put the canon of the Bible together, what we have today. Now, how would you decide on what was the Word of God and what wasn't? Well, it sounded pretty good. Well, what about the Book of Enoch? What about the other books of the Apocalypse? Whoever wrote the book, did he know Jesus personally? Did he have a close relationship with Jesus Christ? The book of Hebrews, they said, we can't accept it because, I'm kind of getting off of it here a minute, but I'll try to get right back on it. But when they wrote the book of Hebrews, they said, we don't know who the author is, and we can't accept it, so we can't put it in the canon when they first started to write the Bible, to put the Bible together. And Peter, 1 Peter doesn't sound like 2 Peter. Brother Nunley, you ever preach two messages and one didn't sound like the other? First Peter doesn't sound like Second Peter, so we can't accept it because we don't know if Peter wrote it or not. And James, he said, salvation is by works. For the Bible said, without works, it's impossible to please God. How many of you folks are born again Christians tonight? Let's see your hands. You know what that means? A lot of people know about God, but they don't know Him. You know what I'm talking about? It takes more than just knowing who Jesus is. It's more than knowing that He died for your sins and He rose again, and that you can be saved. It's believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and receiving Him in your heart that you can be born again. And faith without works, brother, you can believe, I don't know, you can believe ever so much on Jesus Christ, but unless you accept Him, you're lost without God. So what James was saying was, is it's not just enough to believe. There's a church in Houston called the Baraka Church. And all you have to do is just believe. Do you believe in Jesus? Yeah, you're saved. But see, you know what that is? That's faith without works. Unless you put something with it. Jesus in Luke 19:10 said, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. They said, and they shall call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Jesus means salvation. He's come to seek and to save. Isaiah 53:5-6 said, He was wounded for our transgressions and He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and God had laid upon Him the iniquity of us all. I was telling our sister this morning that I prayed with down here, she was needing healing in her body. Let me tell you something. A lot of people say, well, you can be saved today, but God doesn't heal anymore. Bad. You tell me one thing. How can you separate salvation and healing when they all come together in Isaiah 53 and 6? For he was wounded for our transgressions and he was bruised for our iniquity. And with his stripes we're healed. How can you separate one part of that and not separate the other? Jesus is our healer today. He is still healing tonight. He's still making people whole tonight. You can't separate salvation. Jesus healed all manners of sickness and diseases. He opened blinded eyes. He raised the dead. He walked on water. He cast out demons. He calmed the sea. He healed the lepers. He healed the man with palsy. He died upon Calvary and rose the third day. And he ascended into heaven. And the Bible tells us that same Jesus that we read about, that same Jesus that I have told you about tonight, he is the same tonight as he was then. I've had people in times past would say, Brother Pinson, I wish I could have lived when Jesus was here. Why? I want to tell you something. Brother Larry, we're living in a better time. We're not living in yesterday. And we're not living in today. We're living in the forever. The Bible said Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We're living in the forever time tonight. Or if you want to change a little bit, the Greek, ever the same. We're living in the day when Jesus Christ is ever the same. He's ever the same. He's ever the same. If we would have announced tonight that some big television star would have been here on that preaches on the television, this place would have been filled and running over and you wouldn't have got it to get in. But I want you to know, folks, there's something that they missed that they didn't catch when Brother Dunley was preaching this morning, that Jesus is here tonight and he is here doing the same work that he did when he walked the Sadducees of Galilee, and he hasn't changed. He hasn't changed his ministry. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And I believe with all my heart what Jesus is doing tonight is he's seeking those that are lost and are missed tonight. They said the only thing you can count is death and taxes. Well, they're pretty predictable. But thank the Lord we can depend upon Jesus Christ tonight. In Revelation, the first chapter, this is the revelation of John the Revelator. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turn and see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with garments down to his foot, and girded about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in the furnace, and his voice was as the sound of many waters. And he had on his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in the strength. And I saw him and fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. What's happening tonight? Listen, stick with me now. What's happening tonight? The Bible tells us that John saw the Lord, and he was where? He was in the midst of the seven candlesticks. Now, what is the seven candlesticks? The churches. You hear me? The seven churches. And what was he doing? He was walking up and down in the midst of them, brother. He wasn't sitting on the throne. He was walking in the midst of the people of God. In the Old Testament, when they built the tabernacle, they built the tabernacle, and they put it in the middle. In the tabernacle was three tribes on this side, and three tribes on this side, and three tribes on this side, and three tribes to the north. What does that tell us? That tells us that our God wants to be in the middle of everything. Only one time do we ever find that the tabernacle was in the middle of Israel, and that's when they sinned and they moved it to the outside. So what is the Lord doing tonight? He's here. You hear me? Jesus is here. What's he doing? He's walking up and down these aisles. He's walking next to you. He's walking where you are. He knows where you're sitting. He's right where you are. Hallelujah, folks. The Lord is here. And he's walking in our midst. What do you think he's doing? Huh? What do you think Jesus is doing? You know, when Brother Nunley was preaching this morning, I just thought, how far do you think that you'd have to go to find another Assembly of God church that's open tonight? When we pastored over on Fulton Street, the old church that was there about 40 years ago or more, we used to pass by a Methodist church. And in that Methodist church, they had no church, but upstairs they had a big place for the young people. And you could, as we passed by, you could see them dancing. And I used to tell Ann, God help that our churches would turn Sunday night into a time when God's Word and the power of God is not working any longer. And now look at us and what's happened to the Assemblies of God. The same thing is coming right in our very midst. When Jesus was at the age of 12, the Bible records that his folks went to Jerusalem for the Passover. Now, the Passover was 8 days. One day was the day of Passover, and then they started Feast of Unleavened Bread. And it was 7 days. And they'd been to Jerusalem for a number of days. And they decided to go home. And when they went home, the Bible tells us that they went a 1 day's journey. And when they went a day's journey, they looked around and they couldn't find Christ, the 12-year-old. You ever had children that you couldn't find? And they became upset and they turned around and left all their family that was a good crowd following together and they went back. And his mother and dad found him after 3 days. They found him and he was sitting in a temple and he was debating with the doctors and the teachers of the law. And his mother tells him, "We have been anxious. We have been anxiously searching for you." And Jesus said, "How is it that you sought me? Know ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" You hearing that? "Know ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" I'm going to bring this back to us tonight. Jesus is here walking in the midst of Glad Tidings Assembly of God. What do you think he's doing? What do you think Jesus is doing tonight at Glad Tidings? I say, you want me to tell you? "Know ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" How many believe that Jesus is here and that he's going to do his Father's business tonight at Glad Tidings Assembly of God? He's not here to entertain you. He's not here just to tell you how to get rich. He's here to do the work of God. He's here to save the lost. He's here to open blinded eyes. He's here to fill you with the Holy Ghost. He's here to lift burdens. He's here to cast out demons and to lift all burdens that might be in this place tonight. That's his business. I believe he's still doing that tonight. Every year, when I was a pastor, at the start of the new year, we had to fill out a Sunday school, a church report. Brother Nunley, you remember those days? Brother Nunley, Brother Myers, Brother Durham, myself, we'd sit down. And they'd want to know how many people was in your church, how many people had done this, and how many people that did that. And one of the questions they asked was, how many people have been born again in your church this year? How many people have been filled with the Holy Ghost this year? How many people have been baptized in water this year? Would you believe it? We had churches that run up 200 in number that did not have one people, did not have one person saved in a whole year. Come on. That's hard to believe, isn't it? The other day when my eyes was sore that I couldn't see how to drive, I went to church with my wife. And at the end of the service, a young couple came. It was about 35 to 40 years of age. I don't know how old they were, but they came. And I went up to the altar and prayed them through to salvation. My wife said this morning they were back in church this morning. He's a firefighter for the Houston fire people. And when I got on the way home, I was thinking, Lord, I didn't get to go to my church, but devil, I got to pray somebody through to God. Jesus is still doing His thing. And His thing is doing the Father's business. Do you know that? His thing is doing the Father's business. And His Father's business is to save you. If you're here tonight, I don't know if there's anyone here tonight or not, but if you're here tonight and you're not born again, the Lord is seeking you tonight. He's looking for you tonight. He's knocking on your heart's door tonight. He wants you to be saved. If you're here tonight and you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, He wants you to be filled with the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto as many as the Lord our God shall call. He wants you to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I want you to know that when I was young, our churches used to be almost completely Spirit-filled. Today they're about 25-26% of our churches are Spirit-filled tonight. He's still healing people. I believe with all my heart there's people here tonight that's got a real need of a touch from God to touch their bodies and to give them healing. I believe there's people that needs to be delivered. I believe there's people here that are going through real problems. He wants to meet that need tonight. How many times did Jesus ever pass by people that was in need? Peter and John outside the temple said, "Such as I have, give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." We used to sing the old song, only believe all things are possible. Only believe. And then we'd sing it this way, Jesus is here. Jesus is here. All things are possible. Jesus is here. Some of you folks have never known Jack Cole. He was in Dallas, an evangelist in Jack, right outside of Dallas. He was one of the great healing preachers of his time. And when I was in Southwestern, we got to go to one of his services. And there was a man in the service, he looked like a Coke bottle. Little, and then he got about that big around, and then little shoulders. And he came up for Jack Cole to pray for him. I do not admonish you, I do not tell you to do this. And Jack Cole came up and said, in the name of Jesus. And all of a sudden that man was grabbing his britches. He's about to lose them. That tumor, he had a big tumor in his stomach and it just disappeared. Do you think that's what Jesus would have done? Huh? I tell you folks, we say, we don't have healing anymore. Oh, yes, we do. It's just that we don't believe Him for it. We don't stand faithful to God to say, God, I know You're still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God, You're still healing people. We was over in the West Indies. And we were going to a leprous colony. And we were supposed to take a well-known preacher with us. Healing preacher. Isn't it good to push things off on somebody else? And Brother Nunley, just as we got ready to go, he called us, said, I can't make it. Y'all just have to go on your own. Here we are. We're going to be among people that their hands are all eaten. Parts of their faces, their noses, their ears, their limbs. We said, God, you're just going to have to do it. You're still God. With him or without him, God, you're still God. We're just going to have to believe you. And you know God met with us. God met with us. What am I trying to tell you? I'm trying to tell you tonight that Jesus is here. And some of you folks are here in need tonight. Don't leave this building in need tonight until you let Jesus touch you. You don't know, you've got problems that you can't see through. Don't leave this building until God answers that prayer and lets you see through that need. You got a burden. The Lord is our burden bearers. Whatever your need is tonight, the Lord is here to meet your need. The Lord is here to meet your need. The Lord is here to meet your need. Believe God that He is here in this building and that He wants to meet with you and that He will not leave you without meeting that need tonight. Would you bow your head?